It was just an ordinary day in Festive Road. Boys played with toy rockets while their mothers brought home the shopping. Number 52 was Mr. Ben's house, but he was nowhere to be seen. Mr. Ben was in his back garden talking to his neighbour. "Why is it," asked the neighbour, "that your grass looks greener than mine?" "That's strange," said Mr. Ben. "I always thought yours looked greener than mine." And they both laughed. Mr. Ben decided to go for a walk in the park. He sat on a bench and watched a boy flying a kite. "I wonder if it could go above the clouds if the string was long enough," he thought. "It would be so interesting to go up above the clouds." All of a sudden, Mr. Ben tingled with excitement as he remembered the costume shop. And in the costume shop, to speed things up, Mr. Ben becomes a spaceman. And he goes into space. He goes to the moon and to different planets. And you know, about 7% of Americans believe that we never went to the moon. And that is what I would like to talk about today. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, our regular drinker at The Jolly Heretic, Yao Escudo, has asked me to talk about a documentary entitled American Moon by Massimo Mazzucco, who is an Italian photographer, and to look at the possibility that we didn't go to the moon, that it was all fake, that it never happened, and that it never happened about four or five times, because that's how many times we actually went to the moon, supposedly, between 1969 and 1972. Now, it's fascinating, and I'll look at it later, why people are attracted to this and other outlandish conspiracies. I am not saying that conspiracies don't happen. Of course they do. But they tend to be relatively small in scale, because the more people that know about them, the more likely they are to leak out, the more likely they are to be undone, and therefore the more likely they are to collapse. But let's look at the possibility that we didn't go to the moon. This movie, American Moon, is extremely long. It's about 3 hours long, and I watched it at double speed because it was so long. And in my experience, often when I am presented with a film about something that is extraordinarily long, that's not necessarily because it just has to be because it's detailed. That's often because it's full of bad and misleading arguments and so on. So it really shouldn't have to be that long. But I want to look at the arguments that are put forth as to why we didn't go to the moon, and to show that those arguments, I'm afraid, are simply not very convincing. The first is, well, people were killed before we went to the moon. People were killed in various operations and so on, and so therefore we probably couldn't go to the moon. It was dangerous. Well, the counter argument to that is that, of course, if you're doing something extremely dangerous and unusual and technologically difficult, then yes, in the process of working out how to do it, I'm afraid people are going to be killed. People were killed in the process of finding the Americas, or in the process of exploring various parts of the world, but that doesn't mean we never did so. Secondly, there was a motive to do so. The idea that it was the space race, that the Soviet Union had got into space first, and there was a desperation on the part of the Americans to outshine the Soviet Union and to do better than them, and therefore a strong motive to go into space. Well, yes, fine, of course there's going to be a motive involved. People aren't going to go to the moon for no reason. But that's just an appeal to motive. That's just a fallacy. The fact that there was a motive involved does not necessarily mean that it never happened and that the whole thing was faked. It just means that there was a motive involved, and there's always going to be a motive involved in doing anything. You have to have a motive to spend that kind of money and resources on going to the moon. And also, if that was the case, why did we go so many times? If it was just about showing the Soviet Union that we could do it, or showing the people that we could do it, then, well, why do it so many times? Why not just do it once, we've done it, that's it? Why go into overdrive and do it so many times? The next argument is that it couldn't have happened because there is a radioactive belt known as the Van Allen belt around the Earth, and that if astronauts passed through this, they would die. Van Allen himself has countered this argument and has said that it's a belt, it's big, there are holes in it. So first of all, there are various paths that you can go through this belt of radiation, where the level of radiation is lower. And secondly, there are various ways that you can fly around the most radioactive parts of the Van Allen belt. So it is simply no argument to say that, the Van Allen belt, they couldn't have gone through it. We know that people went, animals went through it. We know that dogs that were sent through it by the Soviet Union managed to survive beyond going through the Van Allen belt. And the reason is because they were put through the Van Allen belt in a very specific way in order to get round the most radioactive parts of the Van Allen belt. So that argument can be dismissed. The next is that the movie gives us examples from the movies of how things can be faked, and therefore demonstrates that, you know, theoretically, according to the movies, it could be faked. Well, that's not really an argument, is it? That's just showing that there are movies where people can fake things. The next argument is, why didn't the Russians engage in this plan? Why didn't if it was possible, why didn't the Russians send people to the moon? And the answer is that they did. It's come to light after the end of the Soviet Union that there were various Russian attempts to go to the moon, but they failed because of problems with the Russian equipment and this sort of thing. And so eventually the Russians decided to avoid national humiliation, to stop trying to go to the moon, and then to cover up the fact that there had ever been any attempts by them to go to the moon. The next argument in the film is to say, well, it could be faked, that only a very small number of people would have to know about this, would have to know that the moon landings were faked four or five times. In order to get away with it. But that's simply untrue. There would be a very large number of people that would have to be in on it. In terms of the civil servants involved, in terms of the film crew involved, in terms of the astronauts themselves, and at every level there is space for this to leak, and it would be all it would take would be one person to make some remark. It would be dynamite if it did leak. There would be a very strong incentive to ensure that it did leak. There would be enough suspicions raised, I suspect, if it was fake. No matter how well it was done, there would be things that would have been overlooked. I mean, the whole argument of the conspiracy theorists is that there are all these anomalies that have been overlooked. So if that's the case, then wouldn't there be anomalies that would have been overlooked with regard to a group of senior people in the American government and some filmmakers and whatever getting together to fake the moon landing? There would be all kinds of possibilities of that information leaking and coming to light. There would have to be a large number of people involved in knowing about this, and the more that or knowing about elements of it, and therefore becoming suspicious when the moon landing happened, and so therefore they would be more likely to leak. So it's very, very unlikely that they could have got away with faking it without the information leaking out. Another argument is that, oh well, it was shown that the retro reflector that was placed on the moon still gives a signal, and it's counter argued, well, the moon itself could give that signal. There doesn't need to be a retro reflector there. Well, that may be true, but you're asking people to prove the moon landing did happen, which is rather more difficult to do, and rather more unreasonable. It's up to the sceptics to prove that it didn't. But even so, yes, it could be because of that, or it could be because there's a retroreflector on the moon. It doesn't disprove anything. The next is the nature of radiation. So the Italian that made this film is a photographer, and he argues, well, the nature of radiation on the moon, it interferes with the films. It makes the films will look unrealistic. The quality will be interfered with. The counter argument to that is that the photographers that are talking about this are talking about X-ray levels of radiation. The levels of radiation on the moon are much lower, so it would interfere with photography to a much lesser extent. Another argument is, well, you have these temperature extremes. Temperature extremes would interfere with the ability of the photographic equipment to work. The counter-argument is that it's not as cold on the moon as they're making out it is, due to the fact that you're in the vacuum of space, so the temperatures are not so extreme. Another is that, well, you see these non-parallel shadows. Why is that? The explanation is that the moon is not flat. The moon has hollows and creases, and this could cause non-parallel shadows. Another argument is that you have backlighting. apparently. But the counter-argument is that light is going to reflect off the different surfaces of the moon, giving the impression of backlighting. Another argument is that there are hot spots on the moon. This surely must be because of equipment used to make movies or whatever. The counter-argument is that lunar soil is different from Earth soil. It reacts to light in a different way, and this creates the impression of hot spots, and it creates this kind of glow. Another argument is that, oh, well, the astronauts looked really guilty when they came back, so that shows that they must be lying. But that's just cherry-picking. I mean, if you look at all the videos of all the many interviews they did and the goodwill tour they did around the world, and you just, of course, you can take out of context certain bits of the video where they look a bit guilty. What about all the bits of the video where they didn't look guilty, or they just looked serious, or they were jolly and fun, and they were giving interviews and whatever? That's just cherry-picking, minor little bits of film, and is no argument. Another argument is that when they were confronted, the astronauts, by the conspiracy theorists, they refused to say to them, yeah, I swear on the Bible or whatever that I went to the moon. Well, the counter argument to that is, why should they give the time, these people risk their lives going to the moon, why would they want to give the time of day and to give a sense of power to these kinds of people? Why should they bother? Why should they cooperate with them? The counter argument is, oh, well, wouldn't it be just simpler for them if they just did it? No, why should they? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to do that? Any more than if some hope not hate type person came up to me and said, I demand that you swear on the Bible that your views on, I don't know, group differences are accurate. Why would I do that? Why would I want to cooperate with these people? Why would I want to give them the time of day and give them the satisfaction? I don't think that's a reasonable argument at all. Another argument is, we haven't gone back. Why haven't we gone back? That demonstrates that we can't go back. The counter-argument is, we did go back. We went back a number of times to the moon. We didn't just go once in 1969. We went again and again. So, and the further counter-argument is that after we went, let's say, to the South Pole for the first time, we didn't go back for 45 years. So the reason that we went at the time, they're engaging in this appeal to motive and saying, oh, well, they had a motive to want to fake the moon landing or whatever because they were in the space race with the Soviet Union. Well, yeah, if we accept that's the motive, that's also the motive for not going back. The Cold War calmed down, and there was less of a need to do so, and it was very expensive to do so, and so we didn't go back. I would suggest, possibly, that we can't go back, that we've just lost the ability, we've lost the intelligence to go back. But that's a quite separate issue. Another argument is that there's footprints on the moon, and the footprints, why are they sticky? Why do they stick? It's moon dust. Should moon dust not stick to boots? And the counter argument is that the nature of this dust, it's electrically charged, and it will eventually coalesce in certain conditions of gravity and so forth. I mean, you have to look into the chemistry of this in some detail to understand it, and I suggest if you want to do so, you can look at the website Moon Hoax. It goes through every single argument and demonstrates that they simply don't hold up. But that's the reason for the so-called sticky moon mud. It's that under certain conditions, this dust will coalesce together into what seems like a kind of mud. That's not a major issue. So the film takes 3 hours almost to go through in incredibly turgid detail what I'm afraid are very bad counter arguments. Now, there will be people very bad arguments. Now, there will be people watching this who will be firmly believe that we never went to the moon and will come up with some other argument or some version of an argument that I have already countered and insist that it's the case. But the important thing to do is to look at this logically. Do the arguments hold up that the moon landing was this massive fraud? And I have looked at every argument that has been presented in this detailed film, and the answer is no. Why are conspiracy theories attractive? They are attractive because we are evolved to over-detect agency. And this is a highly adaptive trait, because if you are in prehistory in the forest and you hear a sound and you don't know what it is, and you think, oh, it could be a wolf, but it turns out to just be the wind, then you've saved your life. But if you think it's the wind and it turns out to be a wolf, then you're dead. So it costs nothing to over-detect, really, agency. So we are evolved to over-detect agency, and this is an instinct that is built into us that becomes heightened at times of stress when we are more in touch with, basically, our instincts. The result of that is there are certain kinds of people, people who are basically high in stress, that are more likely to believe in conspiracies when the simplest explanation is that there wasn't a conspiracy. These are, first of all, people who are high in the so-called schizoid personality. This is the kind of personality where you are hyper-empathetic. You are very strong in empathy, such that what empathy is the external manifestation of internal states. It's the ability to read internal states from external manifestations. If you are hyper-empathetic, you overread these. You interpret a smile as evidence that a person loves you. You interpret a frown as evidence that a person wants to kill you. The result of that is that you become paranoid. The result of that is that you are very open to there being a massive conspiracy of evil people who do come up with evil plots and whatever. But that doesn't mean that it's the rational way to think. A second is people that are high in neuroticism, that feel negative feelings strongly, things like depression and anxiety. But another negative feeling with which that intercorrelates is just paranoia. And indeed, there's some evidence that when people are depressed, one of the symptoms of depression can be paranoia. And once you have paranoia, you're highly stressed, you're in touch with your instincts, and one of these, of course, is to believe in conspiracy theories. A third is people that are high in autism. Now, in general, people that are high in autism, they are low in empathy. They have hypo-empathy. They under-detect agency and whatever. And they are very, very high in systematizing. But because they are, but they're not only high in systematizing, they are also very, very focused on details, minor details. And what that can lead to is the magnification of the importance of a particular minor detail. They will become stuck in their thinking. They are obsessive in their thinking. They will become stuck on a particular minor detail, such as an inappropriate smile at a certain point by an astronaut. And they will become stuck on it. They won't be able to break free of the draw of this detail. And they won't be able to see the wood for the trees because they will be so focused on this minor detail. And they will insist, this proves the point. There's a difference between, yes, they are high in systematizing, which makes you highly logical and good at thinking and so forth. But there are other elements to autism which, on their own, and if these are a high component of the autism shopping list suite of traits, which can actually make you less logical, and that is one of them. But anyway, these are why we believe in conspiracy theories. And I cannot emphasize enough, I'm not saying there are never conspiracies. I'm not saying there's no... We know there are. We know there are, because they've come out. But I am saying that there is no evidence that demonstrates that the moon landing is faked. And it seems to me, based on analysis of this film, much more likely that we did actually go to the moon.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!